Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Shalom Aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. I'm Pastor Steve, and the show is Word for Word here on Eurofolk Radio. And the show is for Thursday, September the 15th, 2016, and we're going to be going into Bamidbar, that is the Book of Numbers. That's the Hebrew name for it. It means in the wilderness. We're going to be doing chapters 21 and 22 of the book of Numbers. So let's get right into it. We saw in the last chapter, in chapter 20, where Moshe and Aharon messed up and struck the rock. And they were going to be punished because of that. Well, here we are with Israel going to be wandering about in the land. And enemies are going to come against them. So we'll get into that here. This is the 21st chapter, and this is verse 1. Heard the Canaanite king Arad, who dwelled in the Negeb. Now, the Negeb is the southern part of what would be Israel, and that would be the possession of the tribe of Yehuda, who dwelled in the Negeb, that Israel was coming by the way of his spies, that is 871, Atharim, and it also means scouts. So, he then fought Israel and took 7617 of them captives, 7628. And verse 2, and vowed, 5087, Israel, that means the whole bunch of them, a vow, 5088, to Yahweh, saying, if you will give indeed, that is 5414 doubled as an emphatic, this people into our hands, we will utterly destroy their cities. 2763, and 2763 is karam, as to devote to destruction. That means they were going to destroy everything, devoted to complete destruction. Verse 3, and heard Yahweh the voice of Israel, and gave the Canaanite into their hands, and they utterly destroyed the cities, and they called the name of that place Hormah. 2767, which is a derivative of karam, the devoted to destruction. Verse 4, and they set forth from Mount Hor, that's H-O-R, by the way of the Sea of Reeds, not the Red Sea, the Sea of Reeds, to go around 5437, the land of Edom. In other words, Edom wouldn't let them through, which is one of the reasons why Yahweh hates Edom. And became impatient. That's 7114. The spirit, 5315. Now, 5315 has multiple uses. Person, the life. Here it is used as the inner being. The inner beings of the people, their desires became impatient. Okay? And became impatient, the spirit of the people, because of the long way. Okay. I neglected to give the reference for verse 1. Let's do that now. Verse 1 of chapter 21, you can reference Numbers 33, verse 40, and the book of Yashar, which is Jasher, in English, chapter 85, verse 1. Now let's go back to verse 5. And the references for verses 5 and 6 here is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9. Verse 5, and spoke the people against Elohim and against Moshe. Why have you brought us up from Mitzrayim to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, 38:99, and no water. And our spirit loathes, 6973, this miserable, 7052, food. Now they're speaking of the man that were eating, and that would be manna in your King James Bible, but it is man, M-A-N, in the Hebrew itself. They have added to it in the King James. Okay, they had done this over and over and over. Complain, 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 complain. Verse 6. And sent Yahweh against the people serpents, 5175, with poison, 8314. And they bit, 5391, the people, and died many people of Israel. Okay, poison, 8314. It is seraphim, as a burning pain. Well, they translated that as fiery serpents in the King James because of the burning pain. Okay, so they sent against them people serpents with burning pain, and that was mistranslated as fiery serpents. Came the people to Moshe and said, we have sinned. And here again, this is 2398, to fall short of duty or responsibility. Because we have spoken against Yahweh and against you. Pray, 6419, to Yahweh that he take away, 5493, that's one word, take away from upon us the serpents. And prayed Moshe for the people. Because Yahweh really listened to Moshe, and he was pretty upset with the people and wouldn't listen to their prayers because he doesn't listen to the sinners. He doesn't hear them. verse 8, and said Yahweh to Moshe, make you a poisonous serpent and put it upon a pole, 5251. And it shall be all that are bitten that look upon it shall live, 2425. Okay. Verse 9. And made Moshe a serpent of bronze, 5158, and put it upon a pole, and it was that if bitten by a serpent, a man, when he looked, 5027, toward the serpent of bronze, he lived. All right, this serpent would later become a snare to the people of Israel and would have to be destroyed. Verse 9, reference 2 Kings 18, verse 4, and the book of John in the New Testament, chapter 3, 14. I believe it was Gideon that had to smash it, but because it became an idol to the people. Just, oh well, you know how it is. We are a stiff-necked people, and we haven't changed much over the years. Verse 10. Set forth, that's one word in Hebrew, 5265, the children of Israel, and camped, 2583, at Oboth. That is 88 in your Strong's Concordance. Verse 11. And they set forth again from, that's going to be, that word 5265 will be used throughout. When they set forth, that's what that word is. And they set forth from Oboth and camped at Iye Ha'abarim, 5863, in the wilderness that is before Moab, 4124, toward the rising, that's one word, 4217, of the sun, 8121. And verse 11, you can reference the book of Jasher, chapter 85, verse 9. Verse 12, from there they set forth and camped in the Wadi, 5158, that is like a riverbed with the plain of it, of Zared, 2218. Verse 13, from there they set forth and camped on the other side, that is one word in Hebrew, 5676, of Arnon, 769, that is in the wilderness that goes forth from the border, 1366, of the Emori, those are the Amorites, because Arnon is the border of Moab, between Moab and between the Emori. 14. Wherefore it is said in the book of the wars of Yahweh, what he did, that's one word, 2052, in the Sea of Reeds, 5492, and in the Wadi of Arnon. All right, the book of the wars of Yahweh. It's gone. We don't have it. I don't have a copy of that book. I have a number of the others that they took out, but I don't have a copy of that. And I don't know where to find one. I've searched and searched. That's another missing book. Verse 15. And at the slope 793 of the wadi that stretches out, that's one word, stretches out, 5186, to the dwelling of Ar, 6144, and lies on the border of Moab. That's a big, like a river valley. That's what a wadi is. A water course goes through it. Verse 16, and from there to Be'er, 876, that is the well, 875, where spoke Yahweh to Moshe. This is Yahweh speaking. Gather the people, and I will give them water. Verse 17. Then sang 7891 Israel this song. 7892. Spring up, O well, sing to it. That's 6030, sing. Verse 18, the well that dug, 2658, the chieftains, 8269, the nobles, 5081, of the people cleared it out. That's one word, 3378, by decree, 2710, with their staves, 4983. And that ends the song. And from the wilderness they went to Matana. So the whole song was, spring up, O well, sing to it, the well that dug the chieftains, the nobles of the people cleared it out by decree with their staves. That was the song. Don't have the tune to it. But a lot of the songs we've lost the music to that's in the Hebrew. So that's we've lost a lot over the years, but it'll all be revealed to us when Yeshua returns. We will have all the knowledge that Yahweh deems that we need. Verse 19, and from Matana to Nakhaliel, 5160, and from Nakhaliel to Bamoth, 1120. This is their journey. They're wandering all over the place out there. Verse 20, and from Bamoth in the valley, 1516, that is in the field, in other words, the territory, 7704, of Moab, to the top, 7218, literally the head of Pisgah, P-I-S-G-A-H, 6449, that's Mount Pisgah, which overlooks 8259 on the face of Yeshimon, 3452. Now here's where it gets interesting. A lot of history is going to be based on the following actions. Verse 21, and sent Israel messengers to Sihon, 5511, the king of the Emori, the Amorites, saying, verse 22, let us pass through your land. We will not turn into the fields or the vineyards and not drink of the waters of the wells. The highway of the king we will walk until that we pass through your borders. Now, the king's highway was always a raised road. The kings of these places had these roads built. There were roads on top of a great big line of mounds of dirt, so they would be passable during floods and would be easy to follow instead of just a trail through the wilderness. They made roads even back then. So that was the king's highway, a raised road. Here we go, verse 23. And would not give Sihon to Israel leave to pass through his borders, but gathered Sihon all his people and went forth to meet Israel in the wilderness, and came to Yahatza, 3096, and made war, that's one word, 3898, on Israel. All right, note this. Verses 23 through 31 reference Ruth, all of it. Now, this territory was territory of Moab at one time, and they wiped these people out. And this was Israelite-occupied territory because they killed these people and took over that land. And when Ruth was living there, it was all Israelites living in the former land of Moab. It was occupied territory by Israel. Ruth was not a Moabite. She lived in the land of former Moab, and the term calling her a Moabite means nationality. She was living in Moabite territory, but she was not racially a Moabite. She was an Israelite woman. When I get into the book of Ruth later on, I will do you will be amazed as what the book of Ruth doesn't say and what it does say. They have butchered the book of Ruth and made it say according to their agenda. And they are liars and deceivers. But we'll wait until we get into that book. The book of Ruth, I believe, is available on Anglo-Saxon Israel if you want to read it, what it actually says. I think Eli's got that up on Anglo-Saxon Israel under Anderson's Old Testaments. You have to search around. It's in there. He's got all my stuff there. And as I computerize everything, it gets put up in the new format, which is much nicer. But that's all I could give him at the time when I was locked up. So now that I'm free, I'm redoing everything, and it's much nicer format. All right, verse 24. And smote him Israel with the edge, 6310, which is literally the mouth of the sword, as drinking, with the edge of the sword, and possessed, 3423, his land from Arnon unto Yabbok, 2999, unto the children of Ammon, 5983, because strong, 5794, was the border of the children of Ammon. Now, verse 24, you can reference the book of Jasher, chapter 85, verse 17. And Ammon, 5983, was one of Lot's sons by incest. And they were cursed seed because they were incestual people. He had children by his daughters because they got him drunk and lay with him. And they were cursed by Yahweh, as was Canaan, who was a child of incest. Verse 25. and took Israel all these cities, and dwelled Israel in all the cities of the Emori, in Heshbon 2809, and all its villages 1323. Now 1323 literally means daughters, but in context, when used of habitations, they are villages. The daughters are suburbs. Okay? That's what it translates to. Verse 26, because was the city of Sihon, the king of the Amori, who had fought against the former king of Moab and took all his land from his hand, to Arnon. Okay, now you refer back to Ruth again. The Amorites took all of Moab's land, but it was still called Moab. And when Israel destroyed Sihon, they took all that land. So again, Ruth was not living in racial Moab. She was living in the Israelite-occupied territory formerly belonging to Moab, which was taken from him by Sihon of the Amori, and taken from Sihon the Amori by Israel. So there you go. And they ignore that when they translate Ruth. They don't tell you that. They try to make out that Ruth, who is an ancestor of Yeshua, Messiah, was a Moabite racially, to sully the birthline of the Messiah. Same way they say Rahab was a harlot. And if you read the book of Josephus, it explains clearly that she was an innkeeper. She was living in the inn with her parents. She was a righteous woman, and she married a prince of Israel. And princes of Israel didn't marry whores. So more Jewish lies and deliberate mistranslations to sully the birthline of our Messiah. And Ruth married Boaz, who was a prince of Israel. The prince of Israel would not marry a racial Moabite. I don't need to get started on that. I'll go off and start into Ruth. I need to finish up the book of Numbers. It all ties together, and if you really read everything, it is so exciting. When the truth is revealed, you see the real history of our people, the Israelites, instead of the nonsense that's being purveyed by the Judeo-Christian churches who are minions of the Jews, Talmud Christianity. Let's get back to Numbers. Verse 27. Wherefore those that speak in Proverbs 4:9-1:1 say, come to Heshbon, let the city of Sihon be built and prepared. Verse 28, because there is a fire gone forth from Heshbon, a flame from the city of Sihon, it has consumed Ar of Moab, and the lords, 1167, of the high places, 1116, of Arnon. All right, 1116, high places, is places of pagan worship. And lords, 1167, are Baalim of the high places of Arnon. Imagine that. the Lord's Baal, Lord. There it is, right there in Hebrew. And verse 28 and 29, you can reference Jeremiah 48, 45, and 46. Here we go in verse 29. Woe to you, Moab! You are perished. Six. To perish, to be destroyed, to be lost. O people of Chemosh, 3, 6, 4, 5. He was the false deity of Moab. And Sihon wiped them out. He has given his sons that escape and his daughters into captivity to Sihon, king of the Amori. Okay, Sihon conquered Moab, destroyed it. Israel conquered Sihon and destroyed him and took all that lands that was formerly of Moab. Again, reinforcement from Scripture. Verse 30, we have shot, 3384, at them. Keshbon is perished, even to Dibon, 1769, and we have laid them waste, what's one word, 8074, to Nofak, 5302, which reaches to Medeba, 4311. Verse 31, then dwelled Israel in the land of the Amori. Verse 32, and sent Moshe to spy out. 7270, one word, spy out. Yazer, 3270. And they took the villages of it and dispossessed, 3423, the Amori that were there. Now, 3423 can be used as inheritance or to inherit, to possess, or to dispossess, as it is here, depending on the context of the passage. Verse 33, and they turned, 6437, and went up by the way of Bashan, 1316. Okay, who? And came forth Og, 5747, king of Bashan, to meet them in battle, he and all his people, to the battle, 4421, at Edrei, 154. Og was one of the giants. Okay? He was not a normal man. He was one of the Rephaim, children of the Nephilim. He was huge. They describe his bedstead, an iron bedstead. He couldn't sleep on a regular bed. It would break it down. Verse 34, and said Yahweh to Moshe, do not fear them, because into your hand I give him and all his people and his lands, and you shall do to him that what you did to Sihon, king of the Amori that dwelled at Heshbon. Verse 35, so they smote him, which means to kill, and his sons and all his people, until there were none left, 7604, surviving, 8300, and they possessed his lands. Og, king of Bashan. All the Amorites that came out against Israel. These are the notes here. Israel killed them all. Man, woman, and child. Sihon had previously dispossessed the Moabite from their lands. Wiped them out. Ran them off back to a small territory. And now the Amori were gone because Israel killed them. And that put the original lands of Moab into the control of Israel, and they lived there. So that pertains to the book of Ruth. I'm an Israelite. If I'm living in California, I would be called a Californian. I'm called an American. But that's a national term. Racially, I am of Israel. I'm of pure blood. I still have blue eyes. I'm of ruddy complexion. I was snow blonde until I was 13 years of age. And then my hair started to turn a brown. And I had brown hair and blue eyes. So that gives you the racial designation. I'm an Israelite sojourning in America. And that ends chapter 21. And we've got chapter 22 here. And it looks to be quite a big chapter. So I don't know whether I'll be able to get all of it done. But we're going to launch into it and get as much done today as we can. There was so much in chapter 21 that I really needed to comment on. But let's get into chapter 22 of Numbers. Verse 1, and set forth the children of Israel and camped in the plains 6160 of Moab. It still carried their name, but they weren't there. On the side of the Jordan River by Jericho, 3405. Verse 2. And saw Balak, 1111, son of Sippor, T-S-I-P-P-O-R, 6834, all that did Israel to the Amori. Now he was king of what was left of Moab, living in the mountains. They weren't out on the plain because Sihon had wiped them out and drove them back into the mountains. Verse 3, and feared, 1481, Moab, the presence of the people greatly, 3966, because there were many, 7227, and loathed, 6973, Moab, the presence of the children of Israel. Now this is speaking of the people of Moab and the king, and they would refer to him as Moab as if he were the whole thing. Well, he wasn't. He was just the king, but they gave him the title of Moab. Verse 4. Said Moab to the elders, 2205, of Midian, 4080, who was formerly friends of Israel, but they had gone into paganism very heavy and were now enemies. Now licks up, that's one word, 3897, this congregation all around us, as licks up the ox, 7794, the grass, 3418 of the field. And Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. Verse 5, he sent messengers to Bileam, 1109, son of Beor, 1160, to Pethora, 6604, that is by the river, 5104, of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, a people come forth from Mitzrayim. Behold, they cover, 3680, the eye, 5869, of the landscape, 776, and they dwell over against me. That's 4480, 4136. Now, verse 5, you can reference Numbers 31:8 and 2 Peter 2, verses 15 and 16, the book of Jude 11, and Jasher 85:44. And when they are talking about the eye of the landscape is either fountains, they cover the fountains of the landscape, in other words, they have all the water, or it can be translated all that is seen. It can be either way, we don't know, so I put both translations here in the margin notes. Verse 6, and now come, please, and curse for me, that's 779, this people, because they are more mighty, 6099, than I. Perhaps, 194, I shall be able to, that's one word, 3201, smite them. And drive them out, that's one word, 1644, of the land, because I know that whom you bless, 1288, is blessed, and whom you cursed is cursed. Now, who was this Bileam? He was a magician, a diviner, a warlock, so to speak. And he had power because he was a devil worshiper. And the fallen angels would do what he did to make him help pervert all these other people. So here we have verse 7. And went the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian with divination, 7081, that was a forbidden pagan practice used by false prophets, with divination in their hand, and came to Bileam and spoke to him the words of Balak. Verse 8, and said he to them, lodge, 3885, here tonight, and I will return to you with words that speaks Yahweh to me. And dwell the officials, 8269, of Moab with Bileam. Now, Bileam was rebellious and would do things against Yahweh, but his messengers would speak to him, trying to win him back, and they would give him advice, even though he never fully came over to Yahweh. He kept on doing what he was doing and would get him killed later. Verse 9. And came an Elohim, 430, small e Elohim, that is a mighty one, as a messenger, to Bileam, and said, what, 4310, men are these with you? Verse 10, and said Bileam to the Elohim, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent to me, saying, behold, a people come forth from Mitzrayim and cover the eyes of the landscape. Now come and curse them. That's a different word. 6, 8, 9, 5 here. Okay. As opposed to 7, 7, 9 in the other passage. Curse for me them, and perhaps I shall be able to fight, 3, 8, 9, 8, them, and drive them out. And said the Elohim to Bileam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse, 7, 7, 9, the people, because they are blessed. Verse 13, and rose up Bileam in the morning and said to the officials of Balak, go to your land, because refused, 3985, Yahweh to allow me to go with you. Verse 14, and rose up the officials of Moab and went to Balak and said, refused Bileam to come with us. Now, in verse 9, it's an Elohim, but 4397 messenger is confirmed in verse 22. Now, we'll get to that later. I'm going to get as much done as I can here. And again, more Balak sent officials of greater honor, 3513, than those before. Higher officials, in other words. Verse 16, they came to Bileam and said to him, thus says Balak, son of Zippor, do not, please, refrain, 4513, from coming to me. Verse 17, because I will honor you with much honor, and all that you say to me I will do. Come, please, and curse, 6895 again, for me, this people. Verse 18, and answered Bileam, and said to the servants of Balak, if gave to me Balak a house filled, 4393, with silver and gold, I may not go beyond all from the mouth of Yahweh Elohei, that means my God, to do less, 6996, or more, 1419. Now you see, Yahweh was his God, but he wasn't obedient. He was doing stuff he shouldn't be doing, and it would cost him. Verse 19, and now dwell you here, please, again for the night, until I know what more Yahweh will speak to me. Verse 20, and came the Elohim to Bileam at night and said, in other words, in a dream, if I call you to come, the men, rise up and go with them. But the words that I speak to you, you shall do. Verse 21. That verse 20 is a little clumsy in English, but that's what it says. Verse 21. And rose up Bileam in the morning and bound his saddle, that's one word, 2280, upon his she-ass, 860, and went with the officials of Moab. Verse 22, and was kindled, 2734, the anger, 639, of the Elohim, because he went with them. Remember? They didn't call him. He just got up and assumed that he was just going to go. He presumed to do that. And stood, 3320, the messenger, 4397, There's the confirmation. It was a messenger of Yahweh. The messenger of Yahweh in the way, 1870, as an adversary, 7854, against him. He was writing, 7392, upon his she-ass, and his two servants, 5288, were with him. Verse 23, and saw the she-ass, the messenger of Yahweh, standing, 5234, in the way, with his sword, 2719, drawn, 8025, in his hand, and turned aside, 5186, from the way, and went into the field. The she-ass saw this messenger with a drawn sword. She says, and smote Bileam the she-ass to turn her back to the way. Verse 24, but stood, 5975, the messenger of Yahweh in a path, 4934, of the vineyard, 3754, a wall, 1447, on this side, that's one word, 2088, and a wall on that side, same word, 2888, they use twice in context. Verse 25, and saw the she-ass, the messenger of Yahweh, and crushed herself, 3905, into the wall, and crushed the foot of Bileam into the wall, and again he smote her. He doesn't know what she's doing. He doesn't see the messenger. He's blinded. Man. Verse 26. And again, 3254. The messenger of Yahweh went beyond, 5674, and stood in a place that was narrow, 6862. That had no way to turn to the right, 3225, or the left, 8040. Verse 27, and saw the she-ass, the messenger of Yahweh, and lay down, 7257, under Bileam, and was kindled the anger of Bileam, and he smote the she-ass with his goad, 4731, like a cattle goad. Verse 28, and opened, 6605, Yahweh, the mouth, 6310, of the she-ass, and she said to him, an ass talking to him, what have I done to you that you have smitten me these three times? 7272. And said Bileam to the she-ass, because you have abused me, 5953. Oh, 3863, that there was, 3426, a sword in my hand, because now I would slay you, 2026. And 5953 abused me is in a set of a sense of betrayal. It's to a lollet. That's a tongue twister. Verse 30, and said the she-ass to Bileam, am I not your she-ass upon which you have ridden ever since I was yours until today? Was I ever wont, 5532 doubled, to do so to you? And he said, no. Verse 31. Then uncovered, 1540, the eyes of Bileam. And he saw the messenger of Yahweh standing in the way with his sword drawn out in his hand. And he bowed his head, 6915. And prostrated himself, 7812, upon his nose, 639. Well, we're going to stop here for today, and I'll take the rest of this up tomorrow. And the messenger is really going to take him to task. But I want to discuss some of what we've gone over in this chapter. With the historical portions of the conquering and replacing of the peoples. And either through ignorance or deliberate mistranslation, they have skewed the passages in several books about what went on here and are trying to impute racial impurity to our Messiah with their evil translations. I have done a big dissertation in Ruth. And Eli and I did a show on it a while back, but I will get into it when we finally get to the book of Ruth, and go into great detail. But we've got to get through a few more books here. I will be back tomorrow, and I will finish chapter 22 and try my very best to get to 23 and 24. There's only 30 chapters in 23, and 24 has 25, so I'll be able to get all of that done tomorrow. But we need to finish verses 32 through 41 on tomorrow's reading. This man, Bileam, is a real evildoer, and he convinces Midian to come against Israel later, and when Israel smites the Midianites, Bileam is killed. You'll see that a little bit later, but I want to tell you where this guy connects, and Balak, he just frustrates Balak something awful in these chapters. So I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you now, and get prepared to do tomorrow's show. And I wish you all a good day. And I will say Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. And I'll speak to you tomorrow. Yahweh bless.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe.